Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Ultrasound Gel, gathering evidence from the literature. I'm Mike Pratz, and I have with me Cray Bolger, and today we'll be reviewing a paper titled Accuracy of Point-of-Care Lung Ultrasonography for Diagnosis of Acute Chest Syndrome in Pediatric Patients with Sickle Cell Disease and Fever. This is hot off the press, ahead of print. Cray, give us the details.
Thanks, Mike. So this is an article out of two pediatric hospitals in New York City, Beth Israel and Albert Einstein. And what this study looked at was sickle cell patients with acute chest in pediatric population. So as we all kind of know, acute chest is one of those red flag, don't miss diagnoses, especially in pediatrics. It has high associated morbidity, mortality, requires hospitalization, and a lot of significant outcomes with it. And about a third of our sickle cell patients will experience acute chest at some point in their lifetime. 17% of those will present with fever who have acute chest. And so how we traditionally make this diagnosis is clinical suspicion and physical exam, which the literature has panned out is not that good. About 50% of the patients who have acute chest have fairly limited to no physical exam findings. So the way we make this diagnosis is some sort of new infiltrate on chest x-ray and either a fever, chest pain, hypoxemia, tachypnea, wheezing, cough, or increased work of breathing.
What's the problem just getting chest x-rays on everybody, right? It's pretty harmless.
We would think so, but when you sum up the amount of radiation these kids get from chest x-ray, it probably becomes equivocal to CT scanning. So these kids get about 27 x-rays by the time they're 18. And as they become adults, I think we become a little, I don't want to say careless, but a little less conservative with our chest x-rays. And most of these people get a chest x-ray on almost every visit. So I think a daily, weekly, monthly chest x-ray will add up over time.
Definitely.
So the reason why this study is so important is that we become very dependent on imaging as in these patients. So as I said before, about 50% of them have no physical exam findings. And this is a don't miss diagnosis because, again, the morbidity and mortality is pretty significant with it. So right now our kind of gold standard is chest x-ray in these patients. And as we've seen in previous studies, chest x-ray for infiltrate, especially in the dehydrated or kind of very acute patient, is not great. So a lot of authors have started to look at lung ultrasound as an alternative to chest x-ray. And that's what these authors took on, is how good is lung ultrasound in the acute chest? There's been previous studies, like I said before, that have said that ultrasound outperforms chest x-ray in acute consolidative processes. And those have been confirmed by CT. And so in this case, they did chest x-ray versus ultrasound in the patient that they suspected had acute chest.
Okay. That sounds like a cool study. I'd like to hear more. So how did you get into this study?
So this study was done, again, in a pediatric population, anyone under the age of 21 with a known diagnosis of sickle cell disease and then a fever. And they defined fever as anything over 38 degrees Celsius. They needed to present within the first 24 hours, not have presented in the past week for similar complaints, and have the clinician already be getting a chest x-ray in this patient. So they got excluded, like I said, if they'd presented in the past week, assuming that this was an ongoing illness, or if they already had a diagnosis of acute chest in the last 6 weeks, because as we know, it takes about 6 weeks to see full resolution on imaging of consolidated processes in the lungs. So patients could be included in this study twice as long as they had not previously been diagnosed with ACS in the last 6 weeks. So theoretically, a patient could be scanned twice in this study.
And they were.
Yes. So.
Spoiler alert.
Yes, spoiler alert.
Okay, so what did they do to train these physicians so they could diagnose acute chest on ultrasound?
So it's pretty intense. They got a whole hour-long training on lung ultrasound and then some one-on-one training on pediatric and adult models. So not a whole lot of effort put in to get these people up to par.
But that's what you want to see. You want to make it seem like anyone can do this with very minimal training. So
exactly. And spoiler alert, it worked. So what they did is these pediatric emergency medicine physicians had an hour-long training by two trained sonologists. Those two trained sonologists were also active scanners in this study and did review all of the video clips saved. And what they had them do is save 6 video clips, 2 anterior lung, 2 posterior lung, and 2 lateral lung views for each patient. They had these patients have to be enrolled already getting a chest x-ray, IV antibiotics, labs, and a hematology phone consult, which was standard practice for them for any patient suspected of having acute chest syndrome. Before doing this study, they did record the likelihood on a scale of 1 to 6 of the patients having acute chest. And interestingly enough, the patients who were still low likelihood, about 50% of those patients ended up having acute chest on imaging. So our pretest probability doesn't really help a whole lot in this case. And then the physicians, not blinded obviously to the patient, because as you're ultrasounding the patient, you're looking at them, did the scan, but that lack of pretest probability weighing in actually probably helped our cause in this case.
All right, that sounds good. So now let's talk about what they found.
So what they found, they had 91 patients in 116 events. So as we mentioned before, some of these patients were enrolled twice. And the average age was about 6 years old, with a variation from 4 months to 20 years. So pretty wide range of patient age. They had follow-up 99.1% of these patients. So they called them to see if they had subsequent ER visits, went to a different hospital, or got admitted. So very good follow-up in this study. They had 15 cases of acute chest in these 116 events, so fairly low occurrence of the disease, which is pretty consistent with what we see clinically. 13% of those cases were chest x-ray positive. 16% were positive on lung ultrasound. So lung ultrasound picked up a couple cases that chest x-ray didn't. In the end, the lung ultrasound had a sensitivity of 87%, a specificity of 94%. It had a positive likelihood ratio of 14.6 and a negative likelihood ratio of 0.14. They did have fairly wide range on the sensitivity, 62 to 96%, but the specificity was a lot tighter, 88 to 97%. In addition, as I mentioned, the expert sonologist reviewed these, and they had a kappa of 0.77. So fairly good consistency between the novices and the experts.
And I think, like you mentioned, compared to the physical exam or even the pretest probability overall, you need something, either chest x-ray or ultrasound, because that by itself is not that accurate. So they did some other interesting things with the results here. First, what they did was, if they took out all the people that had repeat visits, how does that change your results? And that stayed pretty similar to what they found before. The sensitivity went down very mildly to 85%, and the specificity went up very slightly to 95%. So that didn't change too much. Then they saw what happened if you take out that all-star sonographer who had 100% sensitivity and specificity and just left the ones that had less than 25 lung ultrasound scans. And that was pretty significant in dropping the sensitivity to 82% and the specificity to 81%. Again, it goes to show that the limitation of ultrasound being operator dependent.
Yeah. Practice makes perfect.
That's right.
Though I have to note that even with that lower sensitivity and specificity, it's still better than your average chest x-ray, which is what previously we've depended on, and that those novices did an average of 4 scans. So even, you know, a little bit extra training, a week or so of specific practice, I think you would see these numbers probably increase exponentially as people get more comfortable with this. Which I think is a lot of what those of us who teach ultrasound preach, is practice makes perfect. Pattern recognition, the more you do, the more pathology sticks out to you.
I totally agree. Now, did they talk about why ultrasound missed some of those consolidations or overcalled them?
Yeah, so one of them, it looks like they didn't have enough images saved. So when they were reviewed, even on expert review, they weren't able to pick it up. The other one was picked up on the expert review, and it was perithymal consolidation, which even with the x-ray and even some advanced imaging studies, that can be fairly challenging, those retrocardiac and in kids with the thymus being as large as it is, consolidations that are adjacent to that or posterior to that can be challenging to pick up. The other note was the false positives. 4 of them they thought were operator error, which as we talked about before would probably go away with experience, where you see consolidation that's consistent with the spleen, rather than the lung, and you see air from the stomach, and so you see a mix of consolidation and air and assume it's lung and therefore pathologic lung. In these cases, that was actually just normal tissue, splenic tissue with stomach overlying it. And that's mostly in the left lung base. And that's something I think it's a challenge not only with lung ultrasound but also with the FAST, is getting people used to what normal looks like, which again, the more you do, the more comfortable you are with that.
And interestingly, there was one other false positive that after review by the expert sonologist, they agreed that it looked like a consolidation, but it was not on x-ray, so for the study counted as a false positive. But that patient was treated as acute chest syndrome as an inpatient because of their ongoing symptoms and respiratory distress. So in fact, it seems more likely that that was just an incident where the ultrasound picked up the consolidation and the chest x-ray missed it.
And that's something we see in previous studies with adults with pneumonia, which essentially ACS is that sometimes these patients, especially sickle cell patients, come in dehydrated, and that chest x-ray may not pick up these acute findings until they're hydrated and resuscitated appropriately, and so therefore ultrasound's more sensitive than the x-ray.
Okay, so tell me about some limitations to this study.
Well, it was a single center. You can see it either as a limitation or a reality check that there was limited training of the majority of the sonologists. They used chest x-ray as the gold standard, which we know is probably not ideal. However, we're not going to put all these little kiddos through the CAT scanner and make them glow in the dark. There was variability amongst the operators, so the sensitivity and specificity varied depending on who was doing the study. And there was not really great blinding because, again, as with any point of care ultrasound, you're looking at the patient, not just at the images. But most of these, it didn't really change the interpretation of the study. As we've previously discussed, the physical exam findings are fairly unreliable as far as diagnosis of acute chest.
All right, so another interesting study that we reviewed. Let me recap just one more time. In this study, it was a prospective convenience sample in a pediatric emergency department. They enrolled anybody that they were suspicious for acute chest syndrome and that was getting a chest x-ray, and compared lung ultrasound to chest x-ray. They ended up having 116 events with 91 patients, and of those, 15 had positive chest x-ray findings. Using those results, they calculated a sensitivity of 87% for lung ultrasound, specificity of 94%, which led to a positive likelihood ratio of 14.6 and a negative likelihood ratio of 0.14. It was limited by differences between the operators that were performing the ultrasound. Some were much better than others. There wasn't perfect blinding, but that didn't seem to affect the results too much. And of course, by using chest x-ray as their gold standard. Nevertheless, I think that this study does show evidence that if you do see a consolidation with lung ultrasound, it may help rule in acute chest syndrome in the appropriate clinical setting. I don't feel that this shows enough evidence that you can really rule it out, as their sensitivity was rather low for missing something like this that would have pretty high morbidity and mortality. So thanks to the authors for performing this study and giving us some more data in this field. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in. We'll talk to you later.
More pressure, more gel, more pressure, more gel.
Ultrasound gel podcast.